Hey everyone, I'll be reading the Bible for us. Today's Bible reading is from 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 16 to 28. Now two prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. One of them said, "Pardon me, my lord. This woman and I live in the same house, and I had a baby while she was there with me. The third day after my child was born, this woman also had a baby. We were alone. There was no one in the house but the two of us. During the night, this woman's son died because she laid on him. So she got up in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while I, your servant, was asleep. She put him by her breast and her dead son by my breast. The next morning, I got up to nurse my son, and he was dead. But when I looked at him closely in the morning light, I saw that it wasn't the son I had born. The other woman said, 'No, the living one is my son, and the dead one is yours.' But the first one insisted, 'No, the dead one is yours, the living one is mine.' And so they argued before the king. The king said, 'This one says, my son is alive and your son is dead. While that one says, no, your son is dead and mine is alive.' Then the king said, 'Bring me a sword.' So they brought a sword for the king. He then gave an order, 'Cut the living child in two and give half to one and half to the other.' The woman whose son was alive was deeply moved out of love for her son and said to the king, 'Please, my lord, give her the living baby. Don't kill him.' But the other said, 'Neither I nor you shall have him. Cut him in two.' Then the king gave his ruling, 'Give the living baby the first woman. Do not kill him. She is his mother.' When all Israel heard the verdict the king had given, they held the king in awe, because they saw that he had wisdom from God to administer justice."
Let me pray before we come to this piece of God's word. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the self-sacrifice of mothers, and we thank you that they get that self-sacrificial instinct as we get all our good characteristics from you, the self-sacrificial God. Father, we pray that we might see your self-sacrificial character even more clearly today. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the world is full of stories, isn't it, of mothers who sacrifice themselves to save their children. Let me give you just three examples. In April 2010, a massive tornado tore through Yazoo City in Mississippi. Nikki Carpenter was at home with her three young sons when it hit. Despite the intense fear she must have felt, she placed a mattress over them and she planted herself on top of the mattress to shield her sons as the house fell down around them. The three boys survived, but tragically Nikki did not. She sacrificed herself to save her children. In 2008, in South Africa, Erica and Pete Zeeman were driving with their three-year-old daughter Demi when they interrupted an armed robbery at a service station. The men opened fire at the car and unbelievably aimed directly at Demi. Now, she would have been killed for sure had Erica, her mum, not dived in front of her and taken five bullets in her back. Now, miraculously, they all survived, but Erica was, of course, badly injured. She sacrificed herself to save her children. In 2006, Lydia Angiou, her eight-year-old son, and his friends were walking in Quebec when a polar bear ambushed them and charged the boys. It's a true story. Without any thought for her own safety, Lydia ran between the boys and the bear, and get this, she kicked the bear. Only moving, being budged from her spot, when a polar bear, 320 kilos, swatted her in the face. Now, a neighbour quickly scared the bear away with her gun, but without Lydia's quick thinking and astonishing bravery, those boys would almost certainly have died. She sacrificed herself to save her children. Now, I'm not telling you these stories on Mother's Day to make you feel bad about not sacrificing yourself even more for your kids. There's already enough maternal guilt out there without having to add to it, I have not saved my children from a polar bear. Rather, it's just to make the point that I think all of us know inside of us anyway, that mothers sometimes sacrifice themselves hugely, even to the point of death, to save their kids. Now, of course, it's not just mums who do this. Dads do this as well as aunts and uncles and friends and many more. And of course, not all mothers do this. That hasn't been the experience for all of us with our mums. But it is just picking up on the general truth that mothers do often sacrifice themselves for our good, don't they? And you know, I think it's this hunch, this truth, that seems to be the strategy, that seems to be behind Solomon's strategy in the Bible reading we just had. Two women come before him with an argument about who is the real mother of a child. One says that the other accidentally smothered her child in the night and then stole hers to replace him. The other denies the charge. Now, did you notice it's not actually clear in the story who's telling the truth? It's not clear to Solomon either. I mean, how can he possibly know what happened when it's just one person's word against the other? And so Solomon comes up with what is frankly a very unusual solution. Look there at chapter 3, verses 24 to 25. It's up on the screen. Then the king said, "Bring me a sword." So they brought a sword for the king. He then gave an order, "Cut the living child in two and give half to one and half to the other." Now, of course, this is an absolutely ridiculous solution to this problem. Sometimes this kind of solution works in parenting situations, doesn't it? I remember I would fight with my siblings over the last piece of cake. There'd be a bit of birthday cake, and I wanted it, and my sister wanted it. And so my mum would say, "Well, Desmond, you cut," because I always got called Desmond by my parents, or when I was in trouble, generally both. They would say, "Okay, you cut, and she chooses." Ever, yeah, just think about that. Have you ever seen that? Parenting hack. Do it. It's absolute genius, right? You cut and she'll choose. My goodness, I was calibrated finally. Now, of course, that is an absolutely genius way to divide a cake. But it is not a genius way to divide a child. Obviously, that will end very badly for the child and neither woman will get anyway. But of course, it's not actually a solution. It's a ploy. It's a trick to flush out the fake mum and the real one, and it works a treat. Listen to verses 26 to 27. The woman whose son was alive was deeply moved out of love for her son and said to the king, "Please, my lord, give her the living baby. Don't kill him." But the other said, "Neither I nor you shall have him. Cut him in two." Then the king gave his ruling, "Give the living baby to the first woman. Do not kill him. She is his mother." See, of course, Solomon never actually intended to kill the child. He was just relying on a mother's natural instinct to protect her child, no matter what the cost, even the astonishing cost of losing him to another woman, to show who the real mother was and who it wasn't. He knew, more often than not, that a mother will sacrifice herself for her child. And that's true in so many ways of our mums, isn't it? Now, they probably haven't sacrificed themselves as dramatically as the mother in this story. It's quite an unusual situation. But they still give up so much for us, don't they? They've given up time and energy and worry and love. Mums give up so much for their kids. That's why it's such a lovely opportunity just to celebrate them in even a small way today. But even more than that, today is a chance for us to celebrate the God who made mums and gave them those self-sacrificial instincts. You see, like all good human qualities, self-sacrifice, whether it comes from a mum or from anyone else, doesn't just come out of nowhere. It comes because we're made in the image of God, and God is a self-sacrificial God. You see, the Bible says right from its very first chapter that God made us in his image. That is, we are like him in some way. Genesis 1:27, God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And God is a caring, self-giving God. You see that in the way he describes himself. So almost picked at random. There are so many verses you could choose. Isaiah 41:13, for I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Ever hold a little kid's hand, whether you're a parent or not? Feel it clutch you? Know the feeling of that little warm hand in your hand as you help them cross the road? Or they're scared about something? That's God for us. Or Isaiah 49:15, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she's born? Well, of course she can't. Though she may forget, although of course she won't, I will not forget you. In other words, mums love their kids. I love you even more. God even sometimes describes himself as like a mother in his protective, caring instinct. So Isaiah 66:13, as a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. Or Hosea 13 verse 8, we've already talked about bears. Like a bear robbed of her cubs, I will attack them and rip them open. We all know that, don't you? You never get in the way of a mama bear. Well, we know that about human mums too. Jesus himself compares himself in some ways like that to someone's mum. Matthew 23 verse 37, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who are sent to you. How often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. He's like a mother hen. You see, the reason mums or anyone can ever be caring or self-sacrificial is because they're made in the image of God, and God is caring and self-sacrificial. But why would God need to be self-sacrificial? Why would God need to give up anything? I mean, he's God after all. Because friends, how we were made is not how we are now, at least not fully. There's still lots of the image of God that shines through in us, but clearly something has also gone wrong in the human personality. Where we were made, like God, to be caring and self-giving, we're often callous and self-serving, putting ourselves before others. Now, sure, we can still do amazing acts of kindness, like saving kids from a tornado, but we can still also be amazingly selfish in both big and small ways. There's something wrong with human beings that though we're capable of taking bullets in the back, we're also capable of firing them in the first place. And you know, the Bible says that God can't just overlook that. He can't ignore the fact that people who are made in his own image have gone haywire and served themselves instead of others. And so the Bible says that he has to hold us to account for that. He has to punish us for that. That's what we deserve, even the best of us. And yet God says, in his huge kindness, that we don't have to suffer like that if we don't want to. Because he is self-sacrificial. All those best parts of human nature that we see in self-sacrifice, they all come from a God who has those in infinitely higher proportions. And if you want the climactic example of that in the Bible, you need look no further than the cross. That verse we read before where Jesus is telling Jerusalem that he's longed to gather them together and protect them as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but she's not willing? Well, a week later after that scene happens, Jesus goes and does it anyway. A week after he says that, as he enters Jerusalem, Jesus is hung on a cross and killed. But the reason he lets himself be killed is so he can pay for the sins of the world, even those people who are killing him. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, he took all the punishment we deserve for our sin and our selfishness, and he took it on himself so we don't have to. All we've got to do to receive that forgiveness is to ask for it because of what he's done. So it is great, isn't it, to be able to celebrate our mums today. For everything you do, whether our mums are in this room or whether they're not, mine's in Tasmania, we want to say thank you because we know it's not easy. You give up a lot for us. And though we may not always show it as much as we should, we are grateful. But it's also great to be able to celebrate the source of all that self-sacrifice. And in fact, the source of all self-sacrifice. The God who made us in our image and loves us, even in us to die for us when we don't deserve it. Now, many of us here already know that love. And we've accepted that forgiveness from God. Praise God for that. But if you haven't yet, why not find out more about that? Ask yourself, where do people get that amazing self-sacrifice from? That must come from somewhere. Or even maybe you're ready to accept that today. To go, I've done enough thinking. I think I really do know who Jesus is. I really do know how much God loves me. I've just never yet closed the deal with him. Well, if you'd like to, you can do that now. We can do it right now. I'm going to pray. We're going to stand and sing. Because what a wonderful opportunity to celebrate our mums, but even more, the God who made them and loves all of us wherever we're at in life. Why don't we pray? Loving Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for mums. For our mums, for our spiritual mums, those who have raised us and cared for us and given up so much for us. And Father, we thank you that they are like wonderful signposts towards an even greater reality, the self-sacrificial love of you, our God and Father. Father, for those of us who know you personally in Jesus, Father, we want to thank you so much. But Father, for those of us who don't yet, Father, we pray that we might come to know you. We are sorry for the way that we've treated you and other people. We've not lived up to the way you made us to be. And yet we thank you so much that you don't abandon us, but like a mother hen, you long to gather us under your wings. Father, please forgive us. Please keep us safe now. Please gather us under your wings. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.